Accession number 12712, Mr. S. Barker, Reel 7.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 7. You had an influx of, a large influx of young men. You as a professional soldier, Mr. Barker, how did you feel about them? Because literally these were young men who one day at least would be fighting.
Yes, of course. Being a professional soldier, I had to adopt the attitude of doing my best to train them for what they were intended for, but it was now that I was becoming involved more with motor transport that was my priority, training them to drive, etc., while at the same time obviously training them in certain military things, as I would say, drilling, physical training, and handling the rifle, training to adopt positions for firing, etc., range finding.
Were they easy to train?
Well, most of them adapted quite well.
Bearing in mind the kind of man that you had had in your regular battalion, were they of higher basic quality or what?
Well, some of them were very intelligent people. Amongst them were professional footballers.
Were these young men coming from the Chester Street, Durham area?
Oh, no, not just. Some of them were from the Midlands.
Your role was teaching young men to drive and presumably to get them through tests to drive on the road. What did that entail in 1939,
40? Principally getting used with handling vehicles, and we would drive right throughout the Lambton estate. They're minor roads, but was getting them used to the feel of roads and carrying out tests of reversing, like sort of 3-point turning. And it was mainly continual handling, and wasn't any real basic test as such. No highway code as we now know it.
Did you have any problems with the civilian police?
No, not that I'm aware of. No.
Were there many accidents?
No, very few, very few.
What kind of vehicles were they driving?
1,500 weight trucks, and one or two motorcycles I think it would be a case of if any of them had handled a motorbike before, then they would obviously be selected to take the motorcycles.
In addition to the role of teaching them to drive, again as a transport sergeant, what other duties did you have within the unit?
Just doing an odd guard, that was all.
Did you have any responsibility for maintenance of the wagon, or was that done by someone else?
Oh, yes, we must carry out maintenance at all times. Regular checks.
You would be responsible to the transport officer?
Yes. Lieutenant Wood, this was.
And he would pass his instructions to you and you would carry them out?
Oh, yes.
What number of men and ranks did a motor transport unit have in it?
Well, I'm not quite sure of the number, but we would have several 1,500-weight trucks. And two or three small, I would say about 1,500-weight cars, really.
What was the role of the trucks themselves? What were they intended to carry?
They were to carry personnel, mainly.
Would they be sufficient to carry the whole battalion?
No. Perhaps we could manage a company.
And these trucks were driven by the regiment, the regimental men themselves?
Yes.
There was no RESC
personnel? No.
What other platoons made up the headquarter company?
There would be a signal company, and that's about all I can think of at the moment.
Did you have carriers?
No.
You hadn't been issued with them?
No.
Do you know whether you had mortars of any size?
No. As far as I'm aware, the battalion, other than the headquarter company, were mainly just armed with rifles.
Had they had, again, you as a regular soldier, in your opinion, had they had sufficient training with their rifles to become adept at using them?
Not in my opinion, no. They'd been formed so quickly and were being sent out to France so quickly that they didn't really have time to become proficient at using weapons.
When did you go to France?
This would be in April 1940. April 1940.
What were you told that you were going to do in France, or had you been told what you were going to do in France?
We individually hadn't been told, but when we arrived in France, we, as headquarter battalion, headquarter company, we were informed that we had to use the trucks to take the men from the battalion to places in the surrounding district to build airfields, airstrips.
So you left England for France, so far as you were concerned, in the possible knowledge that you were going to be a fighting battalion.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And how did you take that, knowing the quality and condition of the battalion?
Well, not too well, because in my opinion they were both under-armed and under-trained, really, for battle.
Was it prevalent within the battalion, this knowledge that they were not really equipped yet to go into a frontline situation?
I couldn't answer that personally.
Did the officers ever in any way show that they were concerned?
No.
So when you got to France, you had this role, lines of communication type role, really, working behind the lines on airstrips.
Yes.
Whereabouts did you first go?
We went to a place called Frivant, near to St. Paul.
And you were accommodated there. In what kind of accommodation?
I think it was in tents. Tents. But I can't be quite certain.
Did you get much opportunity to meet the French civilians?
No, very little. Too busy at the time.
And you say that you were taking men out in your trucks to various sites for airstrips and so forth. What kind of work were they doing?
They were labouring.
Were the other units there doing?
Yes, there was two other units from the brigade, which consisted of the 10th Battalion of the Durhams and the Tyneside Scottish.
Do you recall which brigade this was?
I'm not sure of the number now, but I think it was the 70th.
And they were labouring. Were there other specialist men on the sites, in effect showing them what to do and where they had to go?
Yes, there'd be people in charge of them when they got there, telling them what they should be doing.
In addition to the work that they were doing, did you get any opportunities to extend your training?
No, we didn't really. Just continual driving, that was the only thing that we could do. One of the things we did was we'd take the men to the site, and then when their shift was done, we'd bring them back, and at certain intervals we'd even take them to baths.
To clean themselves?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did the men feel pick and shoveling when they were in an infantry battalion?
Well, I never got to ask any of them, but I didn't think they were very pleased.
So your role was basically the transportation?
Yes,
role.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What kind of hours were the men working on these trips and airfields?
I think they were working 8 hours.
Were they
Which
well...
I couldn't be sure of this, mind.
Were they being well fed?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Did you stay for Vent?
In for Vent?
Yeah, did you stay there? When did you move on?
Well, we were there for a short while, and then the word came that we had to move from there over to a place called Beaumetz, I think it was. And this happened on a Sunday, I'm not sure of the date, on a Sunday night we moved. And then after moving, word came again to start bringing companies away from where they'd already been taken. And on the Monday morning, I brought two companies back, and going back for a third company, the motor transport officer, Mr. Wood, and Major G went with me because I knew the way to go to pick the companies up. But on the way, we ran into German troops, motorized troops, and Major G, Lieutenant Wood, myself, and Lance Corporal Alcorn dived over into a farmyard, into an old area shelter. And we stayed there all night. The following morning, Lance Corporal Alcorn, wanting to relieve himself, went outside this area shelter, and the Germans spotted him. And of course he was taken, and the Germans put a Mauser inside this area shelter and fired it and said, "Raus, Kamerad." So we all went out and were taken prisoner.
Do you recall the date?
I think it was May. This would be May, and I think it was the 22nd of May.
So you were away from the main unit when you were taken, on your way to picking up another company?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were your feelings at that time?
Disaster. Of course, no idea how long we're going to be prisoners, but it was a complete disaster for us.
Was it a frightening episode?
Yes, it was.
Had you any idea what the Germans might do?
Not a thing, no.
How did they treat you when they took you?
Very badly. They eventually put us on into a column of march, and if anybody who was not well dropped to the back of the column, they weren't shy in placing a bayonet where it hurt most to keep you moving. Didn't happen to me, but it did happen to someone I was with.
You say column of march, were these many prisoners?
Oh yes, yes. Well, several hundred, I would say.
When they took you at the very beginning, where did they take you before you got onto the column of march?
Well, we were in this farmyard, and it turned out to be it had been made a headquarters for the German battalion. So the officer just took us aside, took the two officers away separately, and myself and the Lance Corporal to one side, and asked us one or two questions, and then just made us join this column of march.
Do you recall the questions they asked you?
No, I can't, actually. Just asked us our... one of the things asked us was our name, and they'd ask you a regiment, but we knew that we hadn't to tell what that was.
Did you ever discover the particular German unit that took you?
No, I never did, no.
What kind of mood were the Germans in? Everything was going their way?
They were in a ecstatic mood. They thought they were going to go straight through and take over in England as well, the way they appeared to me.
You would walk a long way?
Yes, quite a long way, and over difficult roads as well, because they took us by all the byways that they could, naturally, because their troops would be moving in on the main roads. So they took us along all the by roads that they could.
How were you dressed?
I was just in overalls.
And what was the weather like at this time?
Quite warm at that particular time, yes.
Did they take anything away from you when they caught you, when they took you?
No, I was just, as I say, I was just in overalls, so...
Didn't have to take anything personal away from you?
No.
How did you manage to just live and do the normal things that a human being has to do on a march of this nature?
Well, actually, the one thing that I could complain on, really, was food. We got no food whatsoever. We'll be marched at the end of a long day. We marched in a great big field, and all we could do was collect grass and nettles and boil them up in a little billy can, and that was all we had to sustain us.
They never gave out any food?
No, bread
and all that nature?
No.
And what about water?
No water, no.
Did they
find that from a stream or where it was possible?
Did they use any harsh methods on you to keep you moving or to get you into places?
Yes, they did. Frequently threatening anybody that dodged from the column by firing at them. Several incidents happened of that during the march.
Were there many guards, or how were they placed in relation to the column?
There'd be perhaps one every 3 or 4 yards along the column, and perhaps two at the rear, bringing everything up.
Were these men first-class fighting troops, or...?
Well, this I wouldn't know, but I don't think they would be.
Did you get no opportunity for living off the countryside in the sense of if you're passing through a farm or that nature or
no,
a village?
No way. Not on that particular march, no.
You would be going through French and Belgian villages?
Into Belgium.
Did the civilians see you? What were they doing?
Well, they didn't get in contact with us at all, because the guards would soon, they would even fire at them if they tried to interfere.
They didn't show any animosity because they thought that you had lost
the
war.
No.
Accommodation at night, you say into a field, were you always out in the open?
Yes.
They never got into cover?
No.
As you march many miles, there will be the problem of your feet. How did that go?
Well, luckily I had good boots, army boots, and they survived the march quite well. And with the experience that I had over the years in the army, my feet stood up to it pretty well.
How were you able to relieve yourself? Because you wouldn't have, I suppose, latrine stops.
No, that was the only thing. If they had a halt at any particular time, you had to make the best of it and relieve yourself as best you could in the side of the road.
The Germans did they organise many halts?
No, not very many. Perhaps about 2 hours, and then you'd stop.
Were they marching all the time, or did they have some kind of transportation for...
No, they were marching as well. Mm-hmm.
And at night, when you're in your field or wherever, presumably the guards were around the field?
Walking around the field, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you witness or experience any people who tried to escape?
No, I didn't personally, no. I have seen, when we're actually marching, I've seen somebody try to dive off and being fired at and presumably killed, but never able to prove it because we kept marching.
Did your health deteriorate over this period of time?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned
especially when we got on into Germany and were put onto trucks, into trucks I should say, where we were put 40 into a truck that would be accommodation for 8 horses. We were put 40 to a truck, and then from then the journey was so long that men were excreting in the truck and urinating. There was no stoppages for that.
Did you have stoppages for food? Did they try to feed you in the when you were in the train?
No, they didn't. No.
It's a long time to go without food.
It is, yes.
And water, a similar situation, because you can't get to a stream if you're in a truck.
I think there was one stop on the train journey where they dished out some black bread.
How long did the journey take?
This is where my memory's not too good. but I think it was about 3 days.
There must have been, when you crowded so tightly together, there must have been instances where men fell out.
Oh, yes.
You witnessed that kind of thing.
Yeah, just an odd occasion. The main thing was that you were aware that they were suffering perhaps worse than you were, and men were going down with what do you call the disease now? With dysentery, and it was hard to see your comrades going down like flies.
Did you witness close comrades dying through the journey?
Not at that particular time, because we were all mixed up then, different regiments.
How were you able to stand and sleep in such crowded conditions?
We weren't able to stand at all. We were just lying on the floor on a little bit of straw. But it got to be unbearable, the stench of urine and excreta.
On your journey, going through Germany itself, did you get any opportunity to see German civilians and their attitude towards you?
No. The trucks, of course, the high-sided trucks, where you're unable to see out of them at all.
When you got to your journey's end, where was this?
We actually ended up in a place called, the Germans called it Thorn in Poland, but we now know it as Torn.
Do you recall what happened when you got there?
The Germans called it Stalag XXA. And we were put into huts. And we were only there for a short time, say about 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And then we were put onto another journey again.
Before we come to that one, you were there 3 months in huts. Were you overcrowded in the huts?
Yes, yes, we were. We were in bunk beds, perhaps about 30 or 40 in a hut.
Had the weather changed at all?
No, just slightly, because of moving into Poland, it was slightly cooler than what it had been for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Was there now a possibility to get organised whilst you were in this camp?
Organised amongst ourselves, yes, we did to a certain extent. You would get perhaps all your own Durham men would try to get together, and other regiments perhaps get themselves together.
Had you come to meet men of your battalion?
Just a few, yes.
Were you with privates or were you all NCOs?
Oh no, mixed sergeants down, even sergeant majors down to privates.
Can you describe the camp? What did it look like?
Well, I can't remember much about this particular camp, because we weren't there very long, and we weren't doing any work when we were at that camp.
Had you been issued with any other clothing? You were still with your overalls?
Yes, still with overalls at that particular time.
Was the food improving? Were you getting food now?
Just very little. Small ration of bread with a little bit of, margarine and a little bit of jam.
And how often a day did you have a meal?
You'd have a bowl of soup at midday, and this bread and marge was to last you the remainder of the day.
What was the soup made of?
Mainly potato. Sometimes a few dried peas. It was very, very poor quality.
Did you get anything for breakfast?
No. You had to make out with the amount of small piece of bread that you didn't, that had to last you.
How did your day start?
Started off in the mornings at about 9 o'clock. There was what was called a roll call. Everyone fell in rows of five and were counted off by the Germans to make sure that no one had escaped.
Had anyone escaped, you know?
Odd ones had, yes. And because if there was ever an escapee, we were made to stand until they'd done about a dozen counts before they would let us go.